TCL is a proud sponsor of the 1500 ESPN Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Raised on basketball, raised in front of a computer screen, raised for covering the game, raised by Wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves, the Raised by Wolves podcast.
It is another edition of Raised by Wolves. Manny Hill, Danny Cunningham, and Derek James is here. Welcome back.
It's good to be back. It's been a while. It's good to see you guys.
Months, I think.
I think Jimmy Butler was still. Yeah, Jimmy Butler was still a Timberwolf.
I think he had just. I think the last one we did together, he had just made his trade request.
Yeah, after we had already taped one about him making a trade or possibly not coming back, and then things started happening. And we had to race back and do it all over again. And this time, hopefully, we can do this all in one take.
Yeah. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was. Well, let me tell you, we had, before you got here, Danny, we had a few different. What was the one we did? We taped one at night on like a Wednesday night or something like that. And then, like, Kawhi
got traded. Oh, this always happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this always happened.
So you're bad luck.
Something's bad luck.
Well, I mean, funny. Manny and I haven't had that issue yet.
Oh, yeah, it could be me. Just wait. Just wait.
It sounds like he's bad luck.
Just wait. Well, it was funny because there was like a story about Kawhi. You know, Kawhi was going to report to USA Basketball Camp, even though Popovich was there. And we were like, oh, that might be kind of awkward. Mm-hmm. So we taped that, talked about that. And then like that night, Kawhi got traded.
And we Skyped the next day.
And we woke up the next morning and was like, okay, we should probably another one.
Well, there was other times too where like we'd tape on like a Thursday and news would break on a Friday, and it's just like whatever. NBA, you just can't beat the news cycle. Sometimes you get beat by it.
Yeah. So this West Coast road trip is going great. It seems like it's just going so
not
great.
Exactly.
I'm sure the weather's been nice.
Yeah, it's. I hear Oakland's great this time of year, and I mean, who wouldn't want to be in Sacramento, California in December? And Phoenix is lovely. I love Phoenix, but it's a failure. There's no other way to say this. There is not a single other way to describe the three games that they've had so far, and no matter what happens on Saturday night in Phoenix against the Suns, you can't call this trip anything but a failure.
Because that's a bunny. I mean, you have to win that Phoenix game regardless, but I mean, you win 7 of 8 right after the Butler trade, and then you go on the road and drop 3 straight, and then the 4th game in Phoenix. You're not exactly heading, you know, into Phoenix with a lot of momentum.
It's December 13th as we record this, and they have not won a road game in the Western Conference. They're 0-10 on the road against Western Conference opponents.
Yeah.
Their two road wins are against the Cavaliers and the Nets. Those two teams are fighting for Zion Williamson right now. That's the only places they've won.
Yeah, I mean, Portland, we talked about that earlier this week, Danny, about the Portland loss. I mean, you figure if Robert Covington is playing in that game, then they win that game, and maybe things are a little bit differently.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we look at this road trip a little bit differently.
Sure.
But obviously, in watching last night, them in Sacramento, Covington – that knee is really bothering him because he does not look the same.
And I'm curious if that's why Okogie got minutes. Because Okogie played, I want to say it was
5:48.
To start the second quarter. And that's normally when Covington runs with that bench unit, and it's a very good unit. But Okogie was the one in place of him, and I'm really curious if that's because they're trying to watch his minutes. Now, Covington was still at 31 minutes, so it's probably a good thing that he didn't play that just opened up that second quarter and got those 6 minutes off, because it would have been looking at a 37, 38-minute night on a bum knee. And, I mean, that's probably the most Tom Thibodeau thing ever, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much, yeah. Looking at a couple other things too from last night that stood out, and Danny, I texted you while we were watching the game. You get to the fourth quarter and the Wolves are still kind of in striking distance, and Jeff Teague is out there, and I remember texting you, this feels like a situation where Derrick Rose should be in running the point.
Yeah.
Just because he was having a better game than Teague, and You need to stay in this game somehow. And I don't know, Jeff Teague has just been, I don't want to bash the guy, but he's just not playing well. And I mean, he gets 12, 13, 14 assists in a game, and you'd think, okay, well, yeah, he's playing well. But it's like, if you really watch the game, you see he's not really playing that well right now.
Well, isn't that kind of the problem going back to last year? Tyus Jones would be playing well, and Teague would struggle, and Tibbs would roll with Teague over Tyus. So I mean, it's not too surprising that, you know, he would, even if Derrick Rose, his most favorite player in the world, he wouldn't put the ball in his hands more.
Well, I mean, Jeff Teague's one of the best point guards in the league, guys. He's a top point guard, right? Right? That's how this works?
He's being paid like one.
His stats have been inflated. Like, he had 12 and 13 last night, and I felt like he played like crap until the last 4 minutes of the game. Maybe even then. He just had three good drives to the rim. Those were, what, his only three makes? One of them he got fouled, and the basket didn't count. And, I mean, he was 6 of 7 from the free throw line. That's why he finished with 12 points.
What happened with the technical foul that he got?
That was a terrible call.
It was bad.
I'm sorry. If Jeff Teague dunks, he should be allowed to do whatever the hell he wants to do. It's Jeff Teague. He doesn't dunk. If you are someone that routinely dunks, then okay, I get it. But Jeff Teague dunks like twice a year. Let him celebrate. Let him taunt. Who cares? These are professionals. These are grown men.
It's also Timberwolves Kings in mid-December. Not too many are watching anyway. You're not upsetting children.
Everyone was watching Toronto Golden State last night. No one saw this. It's just gonna be like, well, Jeff Teague got teed up. I wonder what that was about. And like, it's just going to fall into oblivion because no one nationally is going to care because we're all fawning over the Toronto. And rightfully so. But that was an incredibly weak technical foul call.
And the Kings put on quite the three-point shooting display, 19 out of 38.
It's one way to put it.
Yeah. It was a three-point shootout, but it was a one-sided three-point shootout because only one team was really taking a lot of three-pointers, and Sacramento was drilling half of them.
You can't call it a three-point shootout.
That's just getting a three-point shot.
It was a three-point shooting showcase, maybe.
Yeah,
but by one team. But when the Wolves only attempt 22 three-pointers, you can't call it a shootout. They didn't participate in that. That's for damn sure. They haven't participated in any kind of shootout out West. You want to hear some numbers, just the disparity of three-pointers that have been attempted and made on this three-game road trip so far where they've been in Portland, Oakland, and now Sacramento?
Hit me.
So after last night's game, on this three-game trip, the Wolves have attempted 63 three-pointers over the course of this trip. The opponents have attempted 114 of them.
So 63 in three games, that's 21 a game. 21 attempts a game.
Mm-hmm. Not great.
Last in the league over that stretch, by the way.
They've been outscored from deep, as you could imagine. If one team shoots 114 and the other shoots 63, you're probably going to get outscored. 144-69. That's not great. You can't win games like that. Not in today's NBA. You cannot overcome when a team gets hot from three and hits 19 of them and you refuse to take shots from behind the arc. You don't give yourself a chance.
You'd pretty much have to make every single two that you took to offset that, maybe, and probably take several more shots than your opponent, too.
Like, the Wolves shot 53% from the floor last night, and they did not have a chance. Did not have a chance.
Well, they also didn't get back in transition, either, and that's a whole other
can. Looking back at the Warriors game the other night, they had a higher shooting percentage than Golden State did from the floor. They shot, 45%, I want to say. Golden State shot almost 42. I think it was 41.8, and I don't have that box score in front of me. But they had no chance, because the Warriors take and make threes, and the Wolves refuse to.
And it doesn't help when you're not defending the three either. I mean, if you can't.
I think Covington's a big part of that. I think Covington's injury, I don't know how serious it is, but I think it's a big factor on both sides of this argument. I think a reason that they're not defending the arc well is because Covington cleans up so much of everyone else's mistakes and is able to get people off the line. And he only took 2 3-pointers last night. That's a problem. Covington's got to be the guy that if he takes 13 shots, you'd like 8 or 9 of them to be from behind the arc.
He took as many threes as Derrick Rose did last night.
Derrick Rose is an elite three-point shooter today. Okay?
I don't mean to libel one of the greats in NBA
history. He is shooting like 47% from behind the arc. He belongs in the three-point shootout. It's going to be him against Karl Anthony Towns for the belt in the championship round.
That would be something if Derrick does get like an invite to be in the three-point contest. I mean, if we get to January and he's still shooting 45%+, I mean, how do you not?
The NBA would be dumb
because he doesn't shoot. It'd be great for the story, but he didn't shoot the volume of them.
You know how many eyes the NBA would get on that just from Derrick Rose fans, though?
Dude, every Wolves game now. This is what, and I've been covering the team for a little over a month. every game now, my mentions on Twitter are just people fighting about Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
That's all they are. Like, I tweet something about Josh Okogie getting minutes. Like, I tweeted out my article that I wrote yesterday about Josh Okogie, how he can get in the rotation, and it turns into people fighting about Derrick Rose.
Yep.
It never fails. I am genuinely surprised that my rankings of the new earned edition uniforms, I ranked all 16 of them. You can find them on 1500ESPN.com. I am surprised that that didn't turn into an argument about Derrick Rose. I'm stunned.
And they're all from, like, Rose Lover 1, aren't they?
Yes. Derrick Rose has so many stands. Like, I'm happy Derrick Rose has undergone this career revitalization. It's been awesome to see him revamp his game. This is the best season he's had since he was an MVP in Chicago. It's really been incredible to see. But the guy isn't like – he has – it feels like he has as many stands as LeBron James. And, like, I am someone who covered LeBron James, and I don't know if people – would fight to the death about LeBron like this. I mean, part of that is I think a lot of people that are diehard fans of Derrick Rose and not necessarily the Wolves are feel slighted by Derrick Rose not maybe getting the credit they think he deserves. Mm-hmm. Whereas with LeBron, it's, oh, he's the best player in the world. And if you don't think that, you're kind of crazy. So they don't feel
kind of like Kobe or Jeremy Lin stands where they'll get kind of aggressive too.
Kobe stands are just as bad. Kobe stands are terrible because I will die on the hill that Kobe Bryant was more of a cultural icon than a great basketball player. Like, he's a terrific basketball player, but he's not like in the argument for one of the best of all time. Like, he's a guy that's probably 10 through 15 all time for me. Mm-hmm. He's not in like that Michael Jordan, LeBron James argument. It's like those two are just light years ahead of him. And especially with the way today's NBA has changed, Kobe Bryant is a lot of like players like Kevin Durant. And I know we're getting off an incredible tangent here. I'm so sorry.
That's a podcaster for.
Like, Durant listed MJ and Kobe as his top two players of all time. I am sorry. If you think Kobe Bryant's a better basketball player than LeBron James, you need to get your eyes checked. Like, it's not close. LeBron does every single thing on the basketball floor other than shoot free throws better than Kobe Bryant did. Every single thing.
Kobe was, and not to take away from Kobe when I say this, probably but he was teammates. Like a distillation of Michael Jordan.
He was the Costco version.
Exactly.
He was the Costco version of MJ, just like DeMar DeRozan's a Costco version of Kobe.
Sure.
That's what it is. He was a lesser version of Michael Jordan.
How much of that too just has to do with just Kobe being a Laker for 20 years? I mean, because
that's a big part of it, because he played for a historical franchise, and that matters to some people. Where, and let's be honest too,
Lakers fans do have the biggest base too. That doesn't help.
I would probably say second behind the Celtics. I think the Celtics.
It was one of those two. I can't remember,
but. We also, like, conveniently forget, you know, Kobe was, like, far and away the second player on the three Lakers title team. God, like, Shaq was by far a better player at that time. Now, you can say Kobe had a better career, and that's fine, especially the way Shaq's career ended. Now, Kobe's career didn't end in a great fashion other than
it ended 60 points, 50
shots. He took 50 shots.
Yeah.
That was still the dumbest thing I've ever watched. And I watched Corey Brewer get 51.
That was amazing too, because that was the same night the Warriors won their 73 games.
Mm-hmm.
And they won their 73rd game. They played against Memphis, and that game was on ESPN. And ESPN2 had the Kobe Bryant last game.
Yeah.
And the ratings on ESPN2 just blew the Warriors game out of the water. No one cared about win number 73. Everyone cared about Kobe Bryant. It was incredible.
I think, too, the Rockets or something won, and that eliminated Utah. So Utah didn't give a crap about that game. Mm-hmm. So they just let Kobe do whatever.
They got eliminated at, like, halftime, though. Yeah. It wasn't like they went into the game knowing that they were eliminated from playoff contention. Like, when the ball tipped off, they're like, hey, if we win, we're in. And then the Rockets' score went final during, like, halftime in their third quarter, and they were formally eliminated then. And then, I mean, we know how the game ended. But Kobe stands are – I don't know if
that's how we got here.
Like, Derrick Rose has a lot of hardcore fans, and I give them credit for sticking by Derrick because
– and a lot of it's Bulls fans and people from Chicago, too. A ton of it, yeah.
Well, yeah. And him being a Chicago kid.
Right, exactly.
Is the same thing.
And I guess there's some racial identity issues talking with some other people there. Like, you know, like, oh, you know, he's one of us. He made it out. Like,
sure. He's and a that's
cultural
great.
Role model.
Like, there are so many people from Akron and Cleveland that feel that way about LeBron, mm-hmm. and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. But LeBron's also, like, arguably the greatest basketball player that's ever lived.
Right.
Where Derrick Rose, I'm sorry, he's not. I mean, there's a good chance that unless Derrick Rose's career resurgence continues for probably two or three more years, that he becomes the first ever player to win the MVP award and not become an NBA Hall of Famer. Because every yeah. single player that is eligible for the Hall of Fame that has won an MVP is in the Hall of Fame. The ones that aren't are Dirk, who's still active. Tim Duncan is not yet eligible. Kobe Bryant, not yet eligible. LeBron.
KG.
KG,
not yet eligible.
And all those guys are going to get in.
They will all, yes, 100% yeah. will all get in. Yeah. And then you look at Derrick Rose and you're like, he had like three good years when he was young, and then he was really bad for some time, and now he's good again with the Wolves.
And I think people also look at that MVP, and God, my mentions are going to get killed for this. That's when everyone was mad at LeBron.
Yes.
And fatigued at LeBron. Yes, so it's like, oh, Derek gets it.
LeBron won the 2 years prior in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a lot of the people that voted on the MVP, one had LeBron fatigue because, hey, he just won it twice. So
and they were mad at him over the decision and all that stuff.
They were mad at him not because he left Cleveland, but because of the way he left Cleveland,
yep.
which I totally understand. But it was also when you are LeBron in that situation, you're not competing against Derrick Rose for the MVP. And I think this still holds true with LeBron today because I think last year LeBron deserved the MVP. You're not competing with – like last year LeBron wasn't competing with James Harden to win the MVP. LeBron was competing against LeBron in MVP years. Mm-hmm. That's what he's competing against. He's not competing against – he wasn't competing against Derrick Rose that year. He was competing against – himself the prior 2 years in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't going to be the same for him because those 2 years in Cleveland, it was like Mo Williams was his second fiddle. I'm sorry, but Dwayne Wade is
Larry Hughes.
An enormous up. No, Larry Hughes was gone at that point. It was Mo
was
Williams.
He gone?
Yeah. I want to say Larry Hughes' last year with the Cavs was 07, 08.
Okay.
08,
was Larry Hughes in Chicago at that point? He might have been.
Maybe. But those Cavs teams, both of them won 60 games with rosters that, if you look up the roster,
they're number one seed in the East 2 years in a row.
Desperation traded for Ben Wallace and Shaq, and the same.
They had Shaq.
No, that was Wally and Wallace.
They had Shaq on. Yeah, 07. So 07, 08, Larry Hughes played 40 games in Cleveland, and then was traded to Chicago. I think that was that Ben Wallace trade.
Okay, yeah, okay. That makes sense. Then.
But I mean, it was like it was LeBron, and then Mo Williams was the number two, and Delonte West was the third best player on that team, and they won 66 games.
Oh, man, Delonte.
So LeBron was competing against that. So his second best player went from being Mo Williams to being Dwayne Wade, and his third best player went from being Delonte West to Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh, yeah.
So, of course, you're not going to look quite as good when you've got two Hall of Fame players next to you compared to a guy that was an all-star once because he got every open look imaginable because he played next to LeBron James and then Delonte West.
I remember
West.
Him getting in still.
Yeah, and he was a... He was a I think he was an injury replacement, too.
Yeah.
I don't – he wasn't even like a – I don't want to say not a legitimate all-star because if – I mean, only 16 dudes get named to an all-star team per conference. Like, if you are an all-star, no matter how it happens, you deserve
You're
it.
One of the best at your position at
yes.
what you do.
But he wasn't, like, the first cut.
But this did make for a fun time when he was here because we got to refer to him as former all-star Mo Williams.
Oh, sure. Well, everyone was excited in Cleveland when he went back. Like, he was coming – it was the year after that 50-point game he had here.
Yep.
He signed back with Cleveland for, like, the veterans minimum for 2 years. And, I mean, hey, credit to Mo Williams. Dude got a bucket in Game 7 in the NBA Finals. Got two buckets in Game 6. He replaced Matthew Dellavedova in the rotation in that series.
He had such a great career.
And then Dellavedova went on to sign for 4 years and $48 million 2 weeks after. And now
he's back in
yes,
Cleveland.
Yes, he got MVP chance last night in Cleveland.
Did he really?
I watched. So
that's fantastic.
So something about me that will be revealed more and more and more as we continue to go here, and I know I'm still relatively new, but I absolutely love tanking games. I love games between two teams that are at the bottom of the standings. Like, last night was Cavs-Knicks, and I was all about it. Like, I tuned in. So I watched a good portion of Indiana and Milwaukee, mostly because I'm not a believer in the Bucks. And I was flipping through League Pass, and I saw that the Cavs and Knicks were, like, a one-point game with 4 minutes left. I'm like, oh, this is right in my wheelhouse. I need this. So I tuned into it, and The Cavs go up by three and they get a stop, and Dellavedova gets the rebound and he gets fouled and goes to the line and he's shooting free throws to ice the game. And it's his first game back in Cleveland because his team re-debut with the Cavs was on the road in in Milwaukee, oddly enough. So it was his re-debut with the Cavs in Cleveland at the Cube. So he steps to the line, knocks down the first one, and in between free throws, MVP chants start. Like, they're raining down. Like, I'm like, this is Matthew Dellavedova. Could you imagine if that's your if you are foreign to the NBA and you are thrown into Quicken Loans Arena on a Wednesday night in December, and this guy is getting MVP chance. You're like, Matthew Dellavedova is one of the best basketball players in the world.
I hope that person will go to work and be like, yeah, I saw all these great players, and they like list off, you know, maybe like, I don't know, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, and then Matthew Dellavedova. It'll just be so good.
Also, Jordan Clarkson had 28 points in that game, so they probably think he's a Hall of Famer if that's the case.
Jordan Clarkson's always ready to get buckets.
Jordan Clarkson's really good for bad teams.
Yes.
It reminds me of the Dellavedova story. Reminds me of, Derek, you might be too young to remember this. The Wolves were playing the Spurs at Target Center. This had to have been like maybe 2001 or something. Mm-hmm. And Reggie Slater played for the Wolves.
Yep.
And he came in the fourth quarter and he scored like three buckets over Tim Duncan. Mm-hmm. But Tim Duncan had five fouls, so he couldn't really.
So he's just standing there.
Yeah, he's just kind of standing there walling up.
Down,
and
there.
Reggie Slater, undersized power forward, 6'7", about 240 pounds or whatever. And he's just. He's backing down Tim Duncan, and he's getting like these little baby jump hooks over him. He gets like three in a row.
He's getting buckets on a training dummy.
Yeah, and he's getting and Target Center just erupts with Reggie, Reggie, Reggie.
That's amazing.
It was fantastic. I'll never forget
that. Those crowds back then were so much fun.
Is that like the most obscure MVP chant or anything like that you can remember?
Oh,
that's the one that. Well, did Corey Brewer get some MVP chants in his 50-point game?
Oh, absolutely.
Did Mo Williams?
Well, his was on Indiana. The road. His was on the road. Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy Butler did here this year. Yeah. Like home game number one, Jimmy Butler got he got booed in introductions and got MVP chance in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I wasn't yet here for that. I was actually, I was covering a Bucks game that night. And I looked at my phone and I saw the tweet that like Jimmy Butler getting serenaded with MVP chants at the Target Center. I'm like, you've got to be freaking kidding me.
Very fickle fan base at times.
Yeah.
That had to be, I mean, we've had some strange nights this year. Like we've had some really odd games. And last night was up there, I think, with him. Like that game, the MVP night for Jimmy Butler was odd. The Jimmy Butler exploding in the fourth quarter against the Lakers was odd.
Yep.
Derrick Rose scored 50 points in a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange. Last night was pretty strange. Like just to see Bielitsa go off and Bogdanović could not miss. I mean, at one point.
I feel like he does that to the Wolves a lot, though.
I feel like a lot of guys do that to the Wolves a lot. At one point, those two, like, if you combine their stats, they were just ridiculous. Heading into the fourth quarter, they combined for 16 of 21 from the floor. Those two. Like, they just didn't miss. They were white hot.
Man, that's unbelievable.
Bielitsa took 9 threes. Bogdanović took 5. And the thing is, Bogdanović is coming off the bench. He still played 30 minutes, but it's not like, you know, he's getting.
He had 20 points off the bench, yeah.
It's a plus 17.
All right, game high.
Wow. Yeah. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, what do you guys think of his appearance on J.J. Redick's podcast?
So I had heard that before. Like, I didn't think that was new. Amin El-Hassan said that on the Dan Lebatard show.
Right.
So when I saw, like, because I put something on our website about it, but I was also like, I knew this already. Like, how did I, I'm like, and I'm not someone that is yet very connected with sources here. Like I've said twice already on this podcast, I'm pretty much brand new. And I knew that Jimmy Butler only shot the ball one time. I've got some more serious questions about this practice that I'm curious, like, who was guarding him? Did the shot go in? Who were his teammates? Like, things like that I care about more than that he just shot once.
Because he never did say if he made
Johnny
the shot
K
or not.
I think Johnny K did say who his teammates were. It was like the Jared Terrell, James Nunnally crew.
Yeah, okay. I'm like, Crunch?
Yeah, probably.
Like, I was curious if, like, Crunch, and I mean, Coolio was in town last week. I don't know if he was here prior. Like, I want to know who's guarding him and if he made the shot. Like, I knew he only shot one time. Amin El-Hassan said that a month ago.
I feel like he might have missed the shot. Because I think then if he would have made it, then he would have said
okay,
it.
Here's my gripe then.
About it.
Yeah.
Here's my gripe then. If you miss a shot, I'm sorry, but you cannot be scoreless and be dominant. You have to at least get on the scoreboard to say you're dominant. You cannot have a scoreless performance. Be like, I dominated out there. How many did you score? I didn't score. Like, no, you did not dominate.
I wouldn't expect anything less from Jimmy going on his teammates podcast, but it really just seemed a lot of like JJ just fluffing Jimmy's ego and just really playing into it. Because it's just so apparent how much Jimmy loves Jimmy and talking about Jimmy.
Jimmy loves Jimmy more than Jimmy loves anyone else.
But wow. I mean, that was just Jimmy on full display. More so than, you weren't at the home opener. But afterwards, yeah, in the Diva show, that was a lot more of Jimmy just being a diva and just kind of basking in the spotlight.
It's amazing. The NBA is amazing.
Oh, it's the best league around.
Honestly, yes. Aren't there like the subplots more fascinating than who's going to win the title?
Yeah, I think the Raptors are kind of making it fascinating either way. The Raptors are so damn dangerous and terrifying, man.
They
have no holes, none. Yeah. Not a single one.
A Raptors Warriors finals, I would still pick the Warriors to win.
I would too.
That would be really, really fun.
But as I texted you last night, I'm confident in saying the Toronto Raptors are going to win a basketball game in the month of June.
And really, if you look at the Eastern Conference right now, it's like at the start of the year, I thought, okay, Boston's probably going to
be not, runner, I'm but, not the believer in Boston that everyone seems
I'm to not, be. I'm not overly impressed with Boston.
They haven't been good. I mean, they've been good over the past like 2 weeks. But prior to that, they were 500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I'm just looking at the Eastern Conference and I'm like, okay, well, Philly maybe, but Toronto, I think Milwaukee's right now, too inexperienced. Just looks far and ahead of everybody
else. See, Milwaukee's got to do it in the playoffs.
I don't think Philly's ready.
I think we could see a Philly-Toronto Eastern Conference final. I mean, it's going to depend how the seeding plays out because that could be the 1-4 matchup. But I don't believe in the Bucks. I don't believe in it. I think Bud's a very good regular season coach, but I think he's not a coach that's too difficult to game plan for in the playoffs. If you look at this Milwaukee Bucks team and compare it to the Atlanta Hawks team he had in 2014-15. Yes, Giannis is by far a better player than anyone else on that Hawks roster.
That was obviously some of the parts team, that Hawks team.
Yes, but the rest of that Hawks team was probably better than the rest of this Bucks team.
Yeah, they were kind of deep.
They had four All-Stars.
You had Millsap.
Millsap, Al Carroll. Horford, Kyle Korver,
Jeff Teague.
Damari Carroll, Jeff Teague. They were a good team. And they got swept in the playoffs because they went against a better player, and the Raptors have the best player in the Eastern Conference. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if Giannis is everyone's MVP frontrunner, but I can't say that a player that cannot score from outside the restricted area is the best player in a conference. I just can't do it, especially in today's NBA. If you go look at Giannis' shot chart, just the red-green neutral color map, nine of the 12 zones are red. Nine of them. One of them is neutral because he has not taken a shot from there. So really, 9 of the 11 zones that he's attempted shots from are red. He's green in the restricted area, and green, I believe, in the left baseline mid-range. That's it.
He can pretty much get any shot that he wants.
But he can't make them.
Yeah,
he is literally the worst three-point shooter in the NBA. He's shooting 12% from three.
That's a stunt.
12. I am confident I can shoot higher than 12%.
So who gets the MVP then?
If I had a vote, which I don't, I wouldn't give it to Giannis. I would probably vote for Steph. If the MVP were right now, I'd vote for Steph Curry.
That's not a bad answer.
Thank you.
Steph Curry, I mean, it's hard to go wrong with him.
I would vote games. For, and I'll tell you, if the Lakers get anywhere near 50 wins, I would vote for LeBron.
Yeah, you put LeBron in it every year too.
Because, and partly maybe it's a legacy award, but if you... I think we're going to be off
the Lakers
foolish.
Are so poorly constructed right now.
Yeah. And they need 23 to be 23. And when he is, we've seen what they are.
Like, I watched Lance Stephenson in that game against, the Heat game with Dwayne Wade. Oh, he is.
He's so comical, man.
So awful to watch.
But it's so fun. It's like. It's
he thinks he's Magic Johnson with all the confidence of it, and he doesn't realize it.
And I love it. I love his confidence level.
It's like
amazing.
Plain style dysmorphia. It's so good.
It is amazing. And another thing, when we look back at LeBron's career and however many years till he's done. Like, say it's 2025 and we're looking back at LeBron's career and say he doesn't win another MVP. We're going to be like, how in the hell did this guy that was literally the greatest basketball player in the world from May 31st of 2007 until whenever he stops being it, only win the MVP four times?
Yeah.
Because of right now, he's been the best player in the world for almost 12 years.
Yeah.
And he's won four MVP awards. I'm sorry, but that's not going to be looked at. Like, what were we thinking? That's what we're going to be saying. How in the world did anyone else win an MVP? Because his numbers are just going to be that much better. He might finish as the all-time leading scorer. He's going to finish in the top 10 in assists. Like, this guy is unprecedented. And
top 10? He might. Well, I think, is he already in the top 10?
I believe he's like number 12. Or number 12 or 11. I can effort that.
But he could easily average 28, 7, and 7 for the next 3 years, it seems like.
Yeah, He absolutely could. I think if the Lakers get somewhere near 50 wins, I would give it to LeBron. And I know I've got an affinity for LeBron. I'm not trying to hide that, but I think that if they can find a way to get there with that roster, he's more than deserving, especially after what he did last year in Cleveland.
So you were born in 94.
Me?
Yeah.
93. Yeah,
come on, get it right. So you were 17 when LeBron did the decision.
No, I was younger.
16? 17?
I was, because it happened.
Or 15.
2010.
16. It happened in 2010. I was about to turn 17. It happened July 11th of 2010. I turned 17 August 16th. So it was like,
you're such a Clevelander. Of course, you remember like the exact
date when it happened. You have
that was going to be my question.
You have absurd sports knowledge.
What does 16-year-old Danny Cunningham do when LeBron says,
I was so mad. I was so mad. But I mean, I was going into my junior year of high school.
But everyone was.
I was allowed to be a fan. Like, yeah. I wasn't. I didn't even know I wanted to do this. Like, I knew I wanted to play sports. Like, it's what I did. Like, I was a Cavs fan, man. I was heartbroken. It sucked.
That's kind of like me when I was a freshman in high school when the Vikings went 15-1 and lost to the Falcons in the NFC Championship game, and I remember throwing. I don't even remember what I threw at my TV when Morton Anderson made that kick in the overtime. But I was just so, like, my heart and my stomach just, like, sank.
See, I was a naive 10-year-old who thought, like, oh, yeah, they'll be back. They're this good now. They'll be good for a long time. And
no, I was mad, man.
Yeah.
I was mad at Denny for taking a knee before regulation ended. And anyway. But
then when LeBron came back.
We got a nice, like, age range in here now.
Oh. When LeBron came back, that was fun.
Did you know that was coming at all?
I had an inkling.
The Cleveland Cupcake Shop.
Shirtless Cleveland Cupcake Shop, shirtless trainer guy. There was a lot. The plane. Oh, Joe Lowell and the plane store. We were
the plane tracking.
So this is when I was in college when this happened. I was going into my. I was going into my junior year of college, and I was playing football still, and I just gotten into like sports blogging. I was writing for I had just started writing at a pretty big Cleveland sports blog. So we were like tracking planes and stuff, and I'm like learning what FlightAware is. And I'm just trying to follow Dan Gilbert. Like, we think Zydrunas Ilgauskas is on the plane to Miami with him, and like it is. And then so Joe Lowell, who was a reporter at a Cleveland radio station at the time, he got the scoop and he tweeted out the FlightAware that, like, with Dan Gilbert's tail number.
This was such a thing.
And, like, said, Dan Gilbert is on his way to Miami right now. And then Dan Gilbert from the plane quoted the tweet and said, "Am I? Sorry, enjoying a nice day in my backyard." Like, Dan Gilbert tried to refute this while he's like 35,000 feet in
the
air.
Did he turn off his location data so it didn't say?
Like, well, he was in the air. Like, you're on a plane, you don't have that.
Okay.
And this was Twitter in 2014.
Right.
It was a little bit different than it is now. So, like, and him quoting the tweet was like putting RT before it and then putting your comment before that. So it was a different age, Derek. But it was, that was an incredible 2 weeks because you started to get the sense that he was checked out, like during when they lost game four to San Antonio and they're mm-hmm. down 3-1. You're like, man, you know, he's going to be a free agent. Like he might come back. It could happen. So I remember I was working on a golf course. It was my summer job while I was in college. Shout out to Quail Hollow Country Club. Love it forever. I was working on a golf course, and the Cavs made a trade because they didn't have max salary space. Like, they traded Jarrett Jack to, I want to say, the Brooklyn Nets. Mm-hmm. And that was a move they had. Like, Jarrett Jack to the – it was a three-way trade with the Cavs, Nets, and Celtics. They had to give up a pick. They traded Tyler Zeller and Jarrett Jack to clear space to create a max slot. And, like, Jarrett Jack tweeted out, "I got news, y'all." And then the trade broke. I'm like, oh, my God, this is happening. Like, that was a big clue. We're like, okay, the Cavs are, like, they're either screwing themselves here or they're getting LeBron. And the night they won the lottery was really fun, too. The Andrew Wiggins lottery, okay, because they had no business winning that one. The other ones, they were legitimately bad. They won like 33 games the year they won the Wiggins lottery. They finished in ninth place in the Eastern Conference. They had like a point.
They had some good lottery luck for a while.
Oh, they are. That's why they're going to be rebuilt fast. I am a conspiracy theory person that the NBA wanted the Cavs to get really good because I think they wanted a Miami-Cleveland rivalry. I think that I do not doubt those lotteries being fixed. I hadn't heard that one yet. They wanted the Cavs to get good, so either LeBron could go back like he did, or that there could be a rivalry between Cleveland and Miami. And obviously one of those two options happened, but they had no business winning three lotteries in 4 years.
No.
Yeah.
Well, even the Andrew Wiggins one, they had a 0.8% chance of winning, and the ball bounced their way.
Well, and then, you know, Derek, you remember here in Minnesota, we were – that, you know, Kevin Love was basically had 1 foot out the door.
Yep.
And it was just a matter of where he was going to go. And then, you know, when LeBron goes back to Cleveland, it's like, okay, well.
I remember I wrote a piece for Hardwood Paroxysm at the time. I'm like, hey, this would be fun to put Kevin Love and LeBron James together. And then, like, the trade happened, like, 2 months later or something like that.
Well, they had to wait, too, because the Cavs, like, so they signed Wiggins to his rookie deal. Like, he signed a contract with the Cavs, so they had to wait a month to trade. So everyone knew what was going to happen, but it was just, like, in limbo.
We all just, it's kind of like,
we just sat there for a month because I think the trade happened, like, August. It happened August something.
Yeah, because they trotted him out at the State Fair, too.
And Wiggins had already played in a bunch of summer league.
Yeah, remember he played like three summer league games, and then they're like, "We're gonna stop." Like, it was so awkward.
It was really awkward
because once LeBron made his decision and did not include Wiggins in the letter.
I remember that
because LeBron's letter, he mentioned Kyrie and Anderson Varejao,
Tristan Thompson,
and Dion Waiters. When he mentioned Dion Waiters and not Andrew Wiggins, they're like, "Oh man."
Yeah,
Wiggins is never playing for the Cavs. And then they flipped Waiters in January of that year. They traded Deion Waiters for – they got Amon Shumpert and J.R. Smith for Deion Waiters.
I think LeBron liked the idea of Deion Waiters, and correct if I'm wrong, but didn't actually like playing with him once he had the chance to.
Well, my favorite Deion Waiters thing ever is the infamous clip of LeBron with the ball on the right wing, his first year back in Cleveland, and Waiters on the left wing just like jumping with his hand ready to catch the ball. Like, the dude wanted the ball so bad, and then – like, LeBron took the shot at the end of the shot clock, and Deion just, like, kind of slouched. And it was at that moment where, like, they needed to do something here because this isn't working. And people forget that Cavs team was 19-20.
Yeah.
Like, they started off. But everyone talks about how the Miami team was, like, 9-8 or something.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs team, the Cavs were below 500 in January.
The first game. They lost to a bad Knicks team.
That was also like there were. I think that night was really tough for a lot of people because it was just so emotionally charged.
Mm-hmm.
Like there will never be another homecoming quite like that. where it was like Cleveland that night was unbelievable. It was one of the, even though they lost, it was probably one of the three or four best nights in Cavs history. It was just an incredible night. And because of that, I think that played into them not playing well. I mean, they didn't know each other, and it was their first game together, too. And another part of the reason, like, they went to Brazil on a preseason trip, and I think that threw a lot of things out of whack early in the season. Because when you do that, and we saw that with the Wolves a couple years ago when they went to China, like, it messes with you. And I think that was a reason as to why they got off to a slow start. But anyways, if LeBron can get the Lakers near 50 wins, I think he deserves it.
And with that, I think we'll put a bow on this. And,
sorry we didn't talk Wolves, really.
Well, we did. Yeah, I mean, it's in the middle of a
bad road trip. Let's, before we wrap here.
Sure.
Derrick Rose for Sixth Man of the Year. Like, we've talked awards, and we're a little over a quarter of the way through the season. I think he's really deserving of it. Like, if I had a vote and this vote were today, I would – Derrick Rose would be my Sixth Man of the Year, and Covington would be my – Defensive Player of the Year.
I'm trying to think of who else would even be a viable Sixth Man of the Year candidate.
Sabonis.
Part of it, Sabonis.
Sabonis. Yeah.
I don't think Rose keeps up the level of play, but if he plays at a similar level,
the season ended today, which he doesn't.
Yeah. And if he keeps up playing like this and has the same impact, absolutely. No question.
I think what he's been able to do and revitalizing his career, and I know the off the field stuff. Or off the court stuff, excuse me, is you know you're allowed to base your opinions on him as a person different than as a basketball player, which you should. You should separate those things. Like, a lot of guys that were really good football players are kind of terrible people. But what he's done strictly on the court has been an incredible story. It is unbelievable to watch on a nightly basis.
And I'm amazed.
Yes.
His career was dead for 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a video of him, and I really, really, really want to sit down and talk to him just like about his whole career revitalization. There's a video of him after the Cavs traded him last year when he was just in a gym at Cleveland State alone shooting. Like, this dude's a former MVP. The Utah Jazz just cut him, wanted nothing to do with him. This was before the Wolves signed him. He's just shooting alone in the Cleveland State Rec Center. Like, that's it. He's got nothing else to do. And I'm curious if that was, like, a low point.
Yeah. Amazing stuff, man.
You should actually talk to PR about that.
I want to when they get back. Like, I think it's... Because not only, like, him just being good again, but, like, him shooting threes and him look – and I know every time you bring up – literally every time you bring up Derrick Rose's performance with Tibbs, you get the same answer. It is, well, I can't do a voice like you.
Derrick's great. He works so hard.
No, it's not that. It's – this was the first summer in 5 years he didn't have to rehab. Yeah. And there is some merit to that.
I've heard the answer because
– the one thing every single visiting team asks about, like all their media, is how does Derrick Rose do it? And I get it. They're not around. They see the numbers like, holy crap, how does he do it? So they ask Tibbs because that's the next logical step as a reporter, and he has the same answer every time. So we hear it like every single
game. It's like when national media came to Vikings games and be like, hey, Adam Thielen, you're from Minnesota.
Right. Did you know he went to a D2 school?
Do you know he was undrafted?
Yeah, I
do. Well, even going back to the Derrick Rose thing, and this is where you got to give Tibbs some credit, because for all of the Timberwolves jokes, and we've talked about this already, but for all
do the Timberwolves jokes die because Joakim Noah didn't sign here?
Yeah, you know what? They might have.
Even though they still have three.
Yeah, but
people forget about Luol Deng.
I know.
But I think Luol Deng is a great thing for that locker room.
Oh, he's such a good dude.
Yeah. Well, and then that's, I think that's where you got to give Tibbs. You got to tip your hat to Tibbs a little bit, because for all of the jokes, for the most part, if you take Jimmy Butler out of it, and obviously Jimmy was a huge part of
he did what some he good was basketball trying to do. Things for a while.
If you take Jimmy out of the equation, though, the other Bulls guys that he's brought in
have been great.
Have been good. Have been a positive. Taj Gibson has been a positive.
It's Derrick just Rose the one black mark. The one black eye, man.
And it just so happens to be the guy who's probably the best player out of all of the former Bulls.
I don't know. Derrick Rose is playing six-man of the year level.
Oh, man.
The one bad mark is just killer.
I know.
The one bad part about it.
That's the thing, is the one bad mark is the one that's kind of been the biggest elephant in the entire room.
And potentially costing someone his job.
That's true. You can find the Raised by Wolves podcast on podcast1.com, on Apple iTunes, wherever you find podcasts, and of course 1500ESPN.com. Follow Danny at Real D Cunningham. Follow Derek at Derek James NBA. Follow me at Manny Hill 84. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your Wolves basketball. They should win in Phoenix, but yeah, nothing's.
We'll see.
Yeah, well, we shall see. Enjoy your Wolves basketball, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday when Dane Moore joins us.